Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
At the start of the new year, we did get the advanced fourth quarter GDP figures for Singapore. And while fourth quarter GDP numbers showed that the economy only grew by about 5.9% during that time, we saw the economy for the entire year of JGF very strong, a 7.2% growth for the entire 2021. To help us understand how this sets things up, we're pleased to be joined today on Money FM 89.3 by Ms. Selena Ling, who's the head of Treasury Research and Strategy at OCBC. She has been taking a look at the numbers quite closely as well, and she's here to share with us her thoughts. Ms. Ling, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these times. And welcome to the show, ma'am.
Thank you, JP. Very glad to be on the show again.
Absolutely. And always glad to have you help us kick off the new year. And of course, these numbers, quite interesting, actually. The advanced GDP figures, I believe you had a forecast of about 6% for the fourth quarter of last year. Overall, though, we also saw that the full year GDP numbers actually did quite well and even surpassed that range of the MTIs. How did the numbers stack up, though, against your personal expectations? And what do you think stood out the most from this report card?
Well, like you mentioned, actually, we were quite spot on. We were looking for fourth quarter growth of 6% and full year at 7.2%. So the advanced numbers really came in very, very close to that. I think it's worth noting that, you know, a full year growth of 7.2% is actually the highest since 2010. And 2010 was also a bounce back year, you know, following the 2009 slowdown. I think what really stood out for me really is that manufacturing continued to be the star performer, you know, powering on at a double-digit pace and notwithstanding all these news about global supply chain bottlenecks. But we also did see an improvement, you know, in the services sector. But what was a little bit disconcerting was the construction sector, because the fourth quarter advance estimate showed that growth, you know, momentum nearly stalled at only about 2% year on year. And a lot of this is attributable to the labor shortages due to the border restrictions. So a lot of the work flight activities simply hampered by the lack of foreign worker availability. And I think this story could actually drag on, you know, if Omicron continues to ensure that lockdown and other border restrictions continue to stay into the first quarter of this year. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag, even though the full year 2021 really was a very robust year.
And I want to stay on the idea of Omicron, because this was the big question mark really hanging over the fourth quarter. In fact, many of your peers were expecting that COVID-19 Omicron variant would have slowed down the economy somewhat in the fourth quarter. But given that Omicron only really emerged early in December, how much of a dent did it actually make based on your thought and what you're tracking?
Well, at first glance, Omicron seems to be less severe than Delta, although it's more transmissible, but it appears to be contributing to less hospitalization and fatalities. So hopefully, you know, Omicron will blow over soon and not drag into the first quarter 2022 growth prospects as well. But I think one thing we have to bear in mind, that the fourth quarter numbers actually do reflect some reopening of the borders, because you remember we did have a lot of VTL announcements. So there was, you know, more visitor inflows into the Singapore economy. And similarly, we also did see Singaporeans taking the opportunity to travel overseas. So I think there was a little bit of upside, I would say, to the aviation and some of the hospitality related industries. A little bit modest upside that may have been a little bit rein back the latest changes, but nevertheless, I think it was a bit of double-edged sword in fourth quarter itself. Hence, we think that actually the impact of Omicron is probably going to be a lot less severe than what we've seen for earlier waves.
The impact might also be perhaps more focused on certain sectors. You've mentioned construction, for instance. Could a number of sectors still actually lag because of Omicron, despite the fact that there's a chance it might actually be less severe, less of a deal, for lack of a better term, than say some of the other variants?
Definitely. I think we are still in a wait and see, but I think what we take comfort from is that generally, not only for Singapore, but the regional economies, vaccination rates are very high. And I think there's a big push in terms of booster shots as well. So I think the policy reaction these days tends to be a lot more calibrated compared to, you know, a year or two ago when we were grappling with the initial uncertainties of this whole COVID pandemic.
We're still speaking to Ms. Selena Ling, the head of Treasury Research and Strategy at OCBC here on Money FM 89.3, talking about Singapore's fourth quarter GDP flash estimates, and also take the temperature of Singapore's economy as we head deeper into 2022. Now, it is a new year, and while growth is expected to remain steady and fairly solid, we did see inflation at levels not seen in about 8 years, Ms. Ling. About a lot of this also driven by these rising energy prices, while retail prices were fairly stagnant for the most part. Now, I do want to get your thoughts, since you do have a lot more experience covering economics more than I do. Is this a healthy form of inflation if it's mostly pushed by pricier inputs rather than being demand-driven?
Well, I think if we see demand-driven inflation, typically that is very normal for growth recovery story. But I think the current situation is one that is a confluence of both demand as well as supply-driven factors. So we all hear about this global supply chain disruptions, rising energy prices, but we also have the foreign worker shortages that I mentioned due to border restrictions. And on top of that, actually, locally, you see some of the fee adjustments, you know, to both the public transport fares, utility rates, and I think probably in time to come, education fees and healthcare costs as well. And, you know, of course, the budget that's upcoming on the 18th of February, there has been quite strong hints that we may actually get the 2 percentage point GST hike and possibly also some adjustments upwards for carbon pricing. So it all comes together. I think it basically signals that inflation may be more persistent rather than transitory. And that's why we are looking for the MAS to further tighten monetary policy settings in April this year, after having done so in October last year as well.
I'm glad you brought up some of these taxes being raised this year, which could add to inflationary pressures. Now, it has been mentioned over the weekend when it was announced that we might see the GST raised this year. That is a long time coming. It's a can that's been kicked down the road for the last couple of years. However, these inflationary pressures, rather extraordinary this year, and as you mentioned, could actually persist or be less than, not as transitory as we thought. How do you think, I mean, basically, if a GST is introduced or raised actually this year, could it actually even exacerbate some of these price pressures in a way that could actually affect the ordinary Singaporean?
Well, I think any GST hike being quite well telegraphed in advance, obviously the window, you know, they mentioned a 2025 timeline and that window is narrowing. That said, we also recognize that, you know, in the last 2 years or so, there has been quite significant drawdowns in our fiscal reserves in order to combat COVID. And I think this is probably not a sustainable solution going long term. So it would be fiscally prudent, I think, for the budget to look at ways to shore up some of the fiscal revenue, you know, options beyond just tapping on the NRRC, for instance. But that's it. I think for the man on the street, of course, you know, the key question is, has the local labour market returned to pre-COVID norms and has wage adjustments? Are they likely to catch up to cover some of the price increases? So I think these are really still fairly dynamic and still in play, but we are waiting to see how, you know, the growth and the inflation story will continue to play out for the rest of 2022.
Are there ways within the budget to perhaps offset any price pressures that are brought on by inflation, by, say, tax hikes?
Well, I think the usual options, you know, is to actually increase the fiscal transfers to the low-income households and workers. And this typically takes the form of like GST vouchers, additional SNCC subsidies and other related type of subsidies. I think there was talk, you know, in the previous budgets when they first highlighted the need to actually raise the GST, that they would actually provide enough fiscal transfers for up to 5 years to help low-income families, you know, manage the transition. So I guess it will be a very much calibrated move. They will make sure that the low-income households are probably not worse off in the interim period.
Finally, we did talk about the MAS, but I do want to talk about two of the world's most important central banks, and there seems to be a bit of a policy divergence. While the Federal Reserve in the U.S. is looking more hawkish, we have the PBOC saying they want to keep things a bit more loose to support the economic slowdown out in mainland China. Which central bank will matter more for Singapore, both in terms of the country's monetary policy stance and also the economic outlook, especially when you're starting to see these two very influential central banks diverging even more?
Well, it's very interesting you mentioned that, because 2022 is going to be a story all about inflation and how central banks are actually reacting to that inflationary pressure by tightening monetary policy settings. So the Fed, as you rightly mentioned, has already signaled that they want to hike at least 3 times this year after accelerating the pace of the taper. I think PBOC really falls into a minority camp where they are more cautious amidst the growth slowdown. And if you recall, the overall context was one where they had to, you know, basically have a zero COVID strategy that meant a lot of lockdowns and restrictions, especially like what we see in Xi'an today. And also going ahead, because of the common prosperity agenda, it also means that they would be looking a lot more closely in terms of regulatory and supervision of certain industries. So I think they are taking a slightly more cautious stance with regards to actually tightening monetary policy for now. Both economies being very major and important to the global economy would be important for Singapore as well, because we are a small open economy. It's hard to say one is more important than the other. I think the Fed basically leads in terms of the major central banks and would actually drive the interest rate gyrations going forward. You know, how fast they hike rates obviously would have possibly caused some indigestion, and, you know, through the interest rate differentials actually may prompt some capital outflows from the region, especially from some of the more vulnerable EM economies. And then for China itself, because they are such an important economic engine within Asia itself, the stability and also the growth momentum, how fast they actually slow down, where are the industries they're targeting, those will also have an important impact on some of the trade and investment flows for not only Singapore, but ASEAN as a whole. So actually, I take some comfort in the fact, you know, with the RCEP taking off, actually, there could be a little bit more upside on the trade front.
Selena Ling, Head of Treasury Research and Strategy at OCBC, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to help us kick off the new year and also share with us your thoughts on Singapore's fourth quarter GDP report card and your outlook for the year ahead. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to the next time you can join us on the show. Meanwhile, do stay safe, and we hope you have a great start to 2022.
Thank you, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.